and also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Redeemer, in our weakness, we have failed to be your messengers of forgiveness and hope in the world. Renew us by your Holy Spirit, that we may follow your commands and proclaim your reign of love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The first reading is from the prophet Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lay down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I will give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 126 responsively. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negev. Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. The second reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, the 3rd chapter. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day, a member of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as a loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this is one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter. Six days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the house of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord.
In addition to whatever else you might do with your life, are created to honor and glorify God with our words, with our deeds, with our very lives. That life of declaring God's praise is in response to the wonderful things that God has done for each of us. I am about to do a new thing. In order to make way for the new, the old has to be given up. That's what St. Paul is talking about in that reading from the Philippians. He tells us that it's not just new things that have a smell. He says the old things have a smell too. His old life stinks like garbage. Well, actually, it's even worse than garbage. The Greek word that Paul uses is skubala. And we translate it rubbish, trash, garbage. It means stinky, rotting garbage, manure, bad food. Just wriggle up your native nose thinking about it. It's a good word to use when you can't use some of those other words that you might want to say. Just say, ekala, skubala. Skubala. What Paul is talking about is his life was skubala before he got to know Jesus Christ. And now all things are new and fresh. All things, everything has changed. It's not rubbish anymore. Everything without Christ was so much lost. Rubbish, trash, skubala. Paul isn't just telling us about his life to help us get to know him better. Paul is telling us about this change that has come into his life, about the transformation that happened with not knowing Christ and now knowing Christ. His life as a result of knowing Christ Jesus, everything is different. He has been transformed. The old way without Jesus stinks. But now Paul has been completely transformed by his life in Jesus Christ. He's launched out into a new something, a new life, a new way of being that God has in store for him. And Paul has no regret. And he invites us to hear that word and to see that new thing that God is offering to us, too. If you ever have participated in a 12-step program, AA or some of those other kinds of programs, at all the meetings, there's a witness talk. People who stand up and say, this is the way I was, but now I'm like this. This is my past, but now it is all different. That life stank. I think that's the proper tense or half tense of stink. My life stank, and now it smells new. Now it's wonderful because I have found recovery. Once I was using, and now I'm in recovery. Once I was bound by sin, but now I'm free by baptism. Once I was held captive, but now I am free to give God praise and glory. Paul is inviting us to look at our lives as transformed, as changed, as totally different from before knowing Christ Jesus and now knowing Christ Jesus. This gift has made everything new. So let me ask the question, are there things in your life that you need to give up, to leave behind in order to have this new thing happen in your life, in order to live as God has created you to live? Do you need to give something up in order to live as God wants you to live? And how is that? How does God want you to live? He wants you to live as you were created, to live. Giving God glory and praise. Giving God honor and worship. God has done, is doing wonderful, glorious things in you. God is doing a new thing in you. And our lives are filled with praise and thanksgiving for that. Because we were once bound by sin, but now we are free. We are set free in grace. During Lent, we hear scriptures that urge us to examine our lives, to look around and see what it is that might need to be given up or to be transformed, to make the changes that we need. Remember a while ago we talked about that fig tree. Jesus used the example of a fig tree in a garden that was not doing what it was created to do. It wasn't doing anything. It was just taking up space. And this fig tree, the gardener says, don't cut it down yet. Give it some more time. And we'll see if we can help it produce. We've been given time to produce something with our lives, too. We've been given time to become what we are created to be. So how are you using your time? Is there fruit being produced in your life? More now than there once was? Are you more productive in your praise and in your honor of God? What is it in your life that produces that sweet aroma of newness this spring, this season of God's time? The prodigal son and the elder son taught us lessons last week's scripture. We have been given time to come to our senses, to give up our resentment, to enter into the celebration of new life with God. The Father rejoices and celebrates because the one who was dead is now alive. The one who was lost has been found. The one who was stinky with the pigs is now clean and fresh, celebrating with his family. He celebrates this new thing that is being done. I want to go back to the idea of smell and take a look at that gospel passage that we heard this morning. That's the most fragrant passage in the Bible, I think. Here it is, Passover time, 6 days before the feast, John tells us. And Jesus is in Bethany. Bethany is like a suburb of Jerusalem. Now the last time we heard about Jesus being with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, there was a smell mentioned in that passage, that story too. But that smell was of a rotting 4-day-old corpse in a tomb. That time, and now this time, that smelly, rotting person is now sitting at the feast, sharing dinner with Jesus, a dinner that is served by his sister, Martha, the sister who made a confession of faith standing outside that very brother's tomb. Yes, Lord, I know that you are indeed the Messiah, the one who is coming into the world. I believe that there is a new thing being done in you. Martha's faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one who is to come into the world. So here we are, getting ready for the Passover. Jesus with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Think of this city, Jerusalem, a mid-eastern town. Now, they don't smell very good now. Imagine what it was like. Thousands of pilgrims coming into the town. The crush of people and their waste. The carcasses of animals that had been used for the blood sacrifice. The smell of the foods and the spices in the market. All of those smells cooking together in that hot Middle Eastern sun.
And into that smell,
Jesus we're told of this act of devotion that is done by Mary. Into that comes this wonderful aroma. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, wiping them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. Indeed, this is a new thing, quite a contrast to the smells of the city. Mary was anointing a living body. She witnessed this action that she believed that Jesus had said. Jesus was talking about the truth that he was going to Jerusalem and that he was going to die in Jerusalem. By Mary's anointing, she's saying, I believe that that is truly going to happen. Other people were saying, oh, no, don't talk about it, Jesus. That, put that out of your mind. And Mary acknowledges and believes Jesus' prediction, Jesus' truth. She showed her love. She was so thankful for the life of her brother being restored. She was thankful for the truth of Jesus' love. She was extravagant and lavish in her response to that love. Her anointing was not only a foreshadowing of his death and burial, as Jesus said, this is for my burial. It was also a foreshadowing, the washing and drying of feet that in a few days would be repeated in another room. Jesus washing and drying the feet of his disciples. And then he said, do this in remembrance of me. Mary was already doing this in remembrance of him. But the best foreshadowing of all in this action of Mary is the foreshadowing of the lavish, extravagant love that God showed in not holding anything back from us, not even the death of his only son on the cross. The lavish love that God has for us, that Jesus extended his arms on the cross, foreshadowed in Mary's anointing. It wasn't too much. It was over a year's salary to pay for that 1 pound of perfume. And it was not too extravagant. Nothing could really show the depth of Mary's love and devotion. She was being as lavish as she could be. And God's lavish and extravagant love is for you and for me. Nothing is held back. God doesn't hold anything back, not even his own son. God's obedient and generous love is poured out for us, even while we are still sinners. I am about to do a new thing. Love for Jesus is the only proper response to God's unfathomable love for us. Love for Jesus is our only response. All through Lent, we have reflected on the marvelous goodness of God in our lives. And this theme of God's steadfast love for us culminates this Sunday before Holy Week. Both the psalm and that reading from Paul in the Philippians directs us, tells us to respond to such gracious love with joy and gratitude. The psalm says, we've been brought back from captivity. We are filled with joy. God has done great things for us. And we are filled with joy. We stand here on the brink of Holy Week. time set apart for us to reflect seriously on the ultimate example of God's compassionate love for us. What lavish, extravagant love has been poured out for us. We can't stay in the past. We can't continue to live in our sin because God is doing something new in us. We live in a world that desperately needs something new. This wondrous newness of God will be born out of conversion, not coercion, out of repentance, not out of retaliation or reprisal. This new thing that God is doing is in the daily lives of the baptized who are smelling the newness of God's spring and living in response to that. It's happening in us right now. Indeed, God is doing a new thing in us, and we are called to give praise to God in response to that wondrous thing that God has done for us. God lavishly and extravagantly loves us. Thus says the Lord, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Can you smell it? God is doing a new thing.